Thank you, worship team. Let me just say this. I know I'm speaking to the choir here, but if you know anybody that's not here, this morning, not in worship with us, I'd encourage you to share with them to be here through these summer months. The end of the school year here in May, and then into June and July, and just participate in the sweet worship that we participated in this morning. You know, something special when those who are leading worship are shedding tears because of the words that they are singing to their God. I mean, that's very special. And singing, about our God that is always faithful, it's just kind of neat to be able to look out and see some of you adults who have stood at graduate Sundays with us when you were a graduate, and now you have kids in the student ministry, and just how you can sing that song and know that it's true, that all your life your God has been faithful. And it doesn't mean you have a perfect life, right? It doesn't mean you don't have trials and stuff that come into your life that you have to work through and get through, but it does mean that He's with you in those trials and those tribulations. He's with you in the good days and the bad days. He is faithful. We're continuing our series today that I'm calling Running Together, and today we're going to talk about how do we keep going and persevere so that we can live a life that is pleasing to Him and that we finish well. And to do that, over the last several weeks, we've been going back to a passage in Hebrews. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Hebrews 12. I encourage you to do that because we're going to read that together here in a minute. But it's about this group of people who in the first century came out of Judaism and had embraced Jesus Christ, and they had really got off to a great start, and they were growing, but all of a sudden they began to hit a crisis point, and here's the problem. They were in danger of turning back. They'd been pressured to go back into Judaism, and things had gotten hard with their walk, and they were suffering persecution and opposition, personal ridicule, because of their faith in Jesus Christ, and they were growing tired and weary, and they were considering walking off the track or quitting and just kind of throwing in the towel. I don't know if any of you have ever been there, maybe not in your faith walk, but just in life itself, and you just are tired and weary because of what life is, what the season of life that you're going through. And the writer of Hebrews, I love our theme passage in Hebrews 12, 1 and 3. So if you have your Bibles, turn to that. And or if you have your phone, or you can follow along up here. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to stand this morning together and read God's Word. Can we do that? Yeah, let's just stand and in honor of the authority of God's Word in our lives and just read this passage together. Let's read it together out loud, all right? Can we do that? Let's begin. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Pray with me, please. Father, we thank You for the testimony of Your Word, and God, I pray that we would consider You, Jesus, this morning as we kind of walk through Your Word, and that, God, You would give us strength in our weary hearts, Father, and that we would not grow weary, Father, but we would be able to walk out of here with new strength, with Your strength, in relationship with You, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you. I've shared with you this is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. In my quiet time, I kind of am a visual person, so I visualize myself walking into the very presence of God, and I kind of just walk into the tabernacle, and you've heard me teach and preach about that, but I kind of just walk into His presence, and this is one of the, and kind of just continue to move through really the tabernacle and all the different things that are there in the Old Testament tabernacle, but I get closer and closer and closer into His presence as I get to the holy, the Holy of Holies there, to the Ark of the Covenant, and where I begin to pray and intercede on for the things that are going on in my life. But this is one of the passages as I'm going through that I get to say almost every day, I would say, almost every day. And so it's very special to me. And this morning we're going to look in verse 1 there at the piece that says, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And I've shared with you that I still try to jog, and I even got new running shoes for my birthday. Come on now. I didn't even realize they were orange and blue, but somebody pointed that out. You had to get orange and blue. I mean, I didn't buy them. But they're brand new, right? You're brand new, jogging shoes. So I'm so excited to be able to get out and to break them in. But I want to tell you, as I've said many times before, I hate running. I mean, I hate it. Every step, somebody says, you're going to get a runner's high. We got runners in here. Oh, wait, do you feel that runner's high? I ain't never felt no runner's high. I don't think that's a real thing. I think people make that up so that they feel like they feel good about running. And I got all kind of excuses, right? My shoes are too old. My shoes are too new. It's too hot. It's too cold, right? It's cloudy. I mean, I can make some excuses that keep me from getting out there and going around that lake that I live close to there. I make all kind of excuses not to run. And I know some of you are crazy. Some of you are just crazy about running. You go to bed early. You wake up early so that you can run. You eat the right stuff, right? I think that's great. You get on treadmills. How many treadmillers have I got out here? You run the treadmill? None of you. All right, that's good. I'm with my own today. All right, that's good. And you just keep running, right? And to me, if I ran that much, it would feel like it was controlling my life, right? And I don't want it to control my life. Now, don't get me wrong. I like to watch running. I mean, I do. I love the Olympics, the Summer Olympics, and I'm looking forward to the track and field events. I love that. If you were a runner and you wanted to, you signed up for a 5K or a half marathon or a marathon, I'd be there with you. I mean, I'd be on the sidelines cheering for you, and you run across the finish line and go, all right, we did it, right? I'd join with you in that, but I wouldn't run with you, right? Some of you would say, I would run, but I just don't have the time. I mean, I just don't have the time, right? It sounds good, but I've got no time. Others would say, Monty, you would love running if you ran for a cause. If you ran for a cause. Like, you know what that means to me? That means if you would pay money to run. How many of you pay money to run? Come on. And I know you do. I know you do, because there's all kind of races. I mean, there's the summer watermelon series, right? The classic watermelon series we sign up here in Lake. How many of you ever ran in the watermelon races? All right. Awesome. Hey, I'm going to make this commitment. We're going to do that together, right? No. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, he runs like 7 minutes. I run 16. So June 8th, July 13th, August 10th. And if anybody wants to sign up for the Watermelon Series, I'll be there with you. I'll be there with you. We'll run that together. But it won't make me love running. So others say, Monty, if it was exciting, you'd run. And so they've created a thing like color runs. Anybody ever been a part of a color run where you wear all white? And then as you kind of get started, they kind of pelt you with, I don't know, color powder or something. It's terrible, right? Why would anybody do that? That's not fun at all to me. Or for my tough guys, Monty, you come join us in the warrior runs or the Spartan run. Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. We get out there and, we start running, and then we fall down, crawl under barbed wire fence, into mud holes, over obstacles. That sounds like a lot of fun, right? Or then for some of you, we're close to Disney, and so some of you like to run, and we run the princess races, and you wear your little tutu or whatever. And I've seen guys wearing those things. I have a runner up here on the front row, so if you see me looking at him, that's him right there, Scott. Scott wears a little tutu when he runs the princess races. When did that become running, right? When did that become running? Well, I really believe, and I'm glad you're here because a lot of you are with me. I think the writer of Hebrews knew that most of those he was writing to didn't run. They were not professional runners or Olympic runners, but the writer knew we all could understand the picture of running, right? The particular parts of running a race. We could all relate to it. And so the writer knew that this was an opportunity to teach us about the race God was calling us to. Because he knew some of us would say, I want to love Jesus and run the race he's calling me to, but does it have to control my whole life? Does it have to control who I'm hanging out with, where I go, what I spend, how I give, who I forgive? And others will say, well, I love Jesus, and I want him to win in my life. It's why I live the way that I do. It's why I give to what I give to. It's why I believe what I believe. And I believe Jesus can change lives. So I'm all about the church helping people and pointing people to Jesus. But are you saying you want me to personally talk to people about Jesus? I don't know about that. I mean, I'll cheer for the church from the sidelines and say, wow, look what we did. Look what we did. Others would say, well, Monty, right now, I've got my own race to run. You know, I've got my career, my family, my connections, my future. Now, don't get me wrong. What would help me is if I could get a little bit of Jesus in my career. If he could help me to be successful, that would be great. You know, I really could use a little Jesus in my family because I want to be a good husband and a good father and a good mother. So here's what I'll do. I'll take some of Jesus. I'll take some of his principles, and maybe, you know, they'll knock off some of my rough edges and my family will like me more. And oh, yeah, I want my kids to be better. So if the church could help give them a little of Jesus, that'd be great. So I do need a little bit of Jesus. I mean, I want to get to the end of my life, and I know Jesus is my passport stamper to get to the other side. So I want just enough to get there. And so we begin to ask, is my life my race or his race? And Jesus, just come with me to where I'm going, and when I need you, I'll let you know. And some of you would say, I want to run, but I don't know where to start or what it looks like. I mean, is it color? Is it princes races? Because I'm not doing that. I mean, is it social justice or just getting to know my neighbors? Is it just about me stopping some things in my life? Stop this. Don't do that. I just don't know what the race is and where and when do I start. And the writer of Hebrews would say, today. It's time to start today. It's time to run today to get back in the game for some of you. You know, no more excuses. And he begins to define what the race is. There in verse 1, he says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. It's a particular race. God has a particular race for your life, and only you can run it. Your mom can't run it. Your dad can't run it. Your boyfriend can't run it. Somebody else can't run your race. And by the way, you can't run anybody else's race. You have a particular race that God wants you to run in life. The particular race that God has designed for you. And that's the one that you want to run. That's the one you say, okay, God, I'm going to strip off everything. The sin that messes me up, and I'm going to do a moral inventory. I'm going to get the junk out of my life and the weights and the things that hold me back. The habits and the hurts and the hang-ups that hold me back. The wrongs and, you know, the worries. You know, I'm going to let go of those things. And I'll run with perseverance the particular race, God, that you've called me to. And when you're doing that, you're saying, God, I'm ready to become the man that you made me to be. I'm ready to become the woman that you created me to be. But listen, it's not a direction that he's calling us to. It's a person. When we get to, you know, we graduate and we get all excited about that, and we get nervous about the next step of our lives, and people are always asking, you know, what is God's will for my life? And we think that it's maybe this unknown destination. But in reality, what the Bible teaches is it's not an unknown destination. It's a known person that he wants you to run to. Jesus says it this way. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If we were to ask Paul, what is the race? What are we after? And Paul would say, here's what you need to do. Follow me because I'm following him. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Jesus. Peter says in 1 Peter 2, for God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. John would say, don't be deceived. There are a lot of races out there, and some will say, this is the way, or this is the way. But John says in 1 John 2:6, he says, whoever claims to live in him, in Jesus, must live as Jesus did. You see, all of these guys and even the early church would say the race marked out for you is to be like Jesus. Loving like Jesus. Investing your life relationally like Jesus. Painting a picture with our lives of what it looks like to worship him with our lives. To see people with his eyes. To notice those people that others write off. To breathe hope into hopeless situations, to meet others' needs, to remove shame. You see, the race is living your life like Jesus. And you say, wow, that's great, Monty. But I'm just not that loving. I'm not that kind. I'm not Jesus. Exactly. That's why when you run the race, you run it with Jesus. You run with a strength empowered by the Holy Spirit living in you. When you wake up in the morning and you lace up your sneakers, you know, you put on your running shoes and you begin to run, something supernatural will begin to happen. The Holy Spirit will begin to give you the strength to help you to take every single step and every single stride. And while you are running, he will be transforming you from the inside out to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. And as we step out, even as we step out of the door today, the way we love and the way we give and the way we serve and invest and accept others becomes like Jesus. When we run, the Word comes alive, and it begins to point you to where you need to go. When we run, prayer just comes out and begins to change the situation. We begin to experience the power of prayer in our lives, and God shows up and begins to do the impossible as we do the possible. Sin gets shown for what it is. It's a distraction, right? A cheap imitation of what is real. When we run, we see God do the impossible. We don't have to come into a room like this and wait for the right lights or the right songs and wait for something to get us emotional for us to worship. We just worship because of who he is and what he does. You see, his love compels us to worship him. God, you are with me. You are so here and personal. And when we run, we just worship him. It's like breathing. When we run, we see people the way God sees people. We begin to love like him. We take our eyes off of us and our stuff and our fears, and we focus on him. And we'll talk about that next week, fixing our eyes on Jesus. We throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, right? And we push them aside and out of our reach, and we run. When we run, we are not just the hands and feet of Jesus. He actually meets us on the track and transforms us to be more and more like him so that we can finish the race with power. So we can snap the tape at the end of our life. And so here's my challenge to you graduates, and here's my challenge for us, the Rock. And I'm just going to put a sermon in one sentence, And here is the sentence. It starts like this. We run. We run. We run because Jesus is better. We run because it's what we're made for. Because everybody needs that Jesus that is inside of us in them. Philippians 3, Paul writes it this way. He says, I once thought about these things, I thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with Him. I no longer count on my righteousness through obeying the law. We don't have to count on our righteousness by obeying the law. We don't have to have the Ten Commandments on our walls anymore. You know why? Because they're written on our hearts. They're written on our hearts. I don't have to count on my righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. For God's way of making us right with Himself depends on faith. And I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. I want to suffer with Him, sharing in His death. You see, Paul is saying, I want to know Jesus. I want to know His power. So we run. That's how we experience Jesus. We run. We run. We dive into the Word and trust what it says. We run. We love people unconditionally and recklessly. We grow in our relationship with God. We keep running toward the goal of Him. We keep throwing off every obstacle, every hurdle, every sin to pursue Him. We invest our lives into others. We serve selflessly. We give generously. We worship truly. We let go of our past. We give up control. We lay down our way. We get off the sideline and into the game. We look at Jesus and we say, I want to run. Holy Spirit, please help me run. And some of you are here this morning and you've never run. I mean, you know about the lavish love and grace of God, but you've never surrendered to Him as Lord of your life. You've never said yes to Him. You've not let Him do what He wants to do in and through you. And so today is an opportunity for you just to say yes to Him. To confess with your mouth that He is your Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead so that you can be saved and run. Some of you here this morning, you have run before. Maybe something happened and you've stopped running. Maybe you've been hurt by someone or by a loss of a loved one, or just life is tough right now and you have a lot of questions and you just stop running because life is overwhelming and failure has come into your career or into your marriage and you just feel like giving up and quitting. In Galatians 5:7, Paul says, you are running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? Keep running. Some of you in this room have run for so long and you've been such an inspiration to so many. Keep running. Don't give up. It's not over. So many are looking to you as an example. So run to the end. I know I talk about my dad a lot, but he was a man that ran all the way to the end. I went up into his hospital room the day he passed away, and I walked in there, and he was already gone. And, I walked up to the nurses, and they come up to me, and they said, we don't really know what happened. He was kidding with us, and we were all laughing. And we said, Mr. Virgil, where do you get that sense of humor? Why can you be so happy all the time? He said, well, it's my Jesus, And he said, we were talking and laughing, and next thing we knew, we turned around, and he was gone. But he ran. All the way to the end. And so the first part of that sentence is we just run. The race that God is calling us to. The next part is we run together. We run together. It says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us. Let us. It's a we thing. We are a team. Earlier in Hebrews 10:22, it says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. Verse 23, it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. Verse 24 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. We need Christian community. We need accountability. And for you that are going away for your college experience, you need to make sure that you find Christian community, those that can hold you accountable, that you can run with. We need people to speak courage into our lives. We need people to learn with, to share our victories, to share our failures with. We need those that will be there and say, hey, when you get off the track, when things get a little confusing, we'll be there. I'll be your true north, pointing you to Jesus. Come to us. I'll help you keep following Jesus. Get back on track. We need those people. We need to run together. The old African proverb is, if you want to run fast, run alone. But if you want to run far and finish, we have to run together. So we run together. Next part of the sentence says, we run together no matter what. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Run is the Greek word treko. And a better translation for it is to keep on running. Every day, all day, let us keep on running the race, the particular race that God has for us. To persevere, right? To run no matter what. To persevere in that race. The Greek word for perseverance is hupomone. Hupo means under, and mone means to stand. It's kind of this picture of Atlas. You remember the picture? It, you know, as the only one strong enough to go underneath and put the world on his shoulders. It's not a sign of weakness when you know, where you just hunker down and take it. Instead, it's a sign of patient, enduring strength. The kind of supernatural strength that no matter what comes, no matter what weight comes, we run. We run together even when it gets heavy. You know, down through the ages, greatness has often been defined by people's ability to overcome obstacles and failures in their past and persevere in their present. In the race of life, God is always more interested in how you finish than how fast you start. I love this statement, and I've held on it for a number of years, from Friedrich Nietzsche. He says, the essential thing in heaven and earth is this, that there is a long obedience in the same direction. Everything in our culture and everything in us revolts against that, because we want quick and convenient and instant and efficient, right? We like it now. Eugene Peterson says this about that quote. He says, there's a great market for religious experience in our world, but there is little enthusiasm for the slow and patient acquisition of character and virtue. And he's right. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So listen, no matter how difficult it gets or how the hardship comes, no matter how dark and scary things become, no matter how the waves batter against your life, stay faithful. Stay faithful because He is faithful. And so begin to think, you know, what does God want you to keep on doing? Where do you need to keep persevering? Maybe it's as simple as is your daily time with Him. Maybe it's continuing to participate in a small group. Maybe it's in your prayer life. Where is the area that you know you've got to keep persevering in so that you can become more and more like Christ and He can fulfill His plan and purpose in your life? Listen, the race is going to take your entire life. You're not going to finish it in a week or a month or even next year. God's plan to make you the person He wants you to be is a lifetime plan. It's going to take your entire life. And so you can't run the race quickly. It's not a short 50-yard dash, right? It's a marathon. So you don't get impatient. The word race there is the Greek word agon, and it's where we get our word agony. Agony. It's a race that will not be easy. It's a painful race sometimes. There are times when it's going to hurt. So he says, let us keep running with strength, no matter the weight, no matter the pain, no matter the cost. We're going to keep running when it gets heavy. Rain or shine, good days or bad, even though some will give up, even when our hearts are heavy with loss, we're going to run. Even when our trust has been broken, even when the job disappears, we're going to run. When our past stuff comes rushing back at us, we're going to run because we know when we run, even when it's hard, our God will show up. He is faithful. It's who He is. He's doing something beautiful in us, something powerful, something permanent. Because when it gets hard and it gets heavy, it feels like that's when He does His best work. So we run together, no matter what. We put our shoes on. We ask the Holy Spirit to stir some things up in us. And we trust that He will transform us and give us power to run, even when we don't have the strength to keep going. Listen, keep running. You're not alone. We are with you. And so we run together, no matter what. And the last part of the sentence is, because it's worth it. Because it's worth it. It's worth it. I got to go to the Billy Graham Museum a few weeks ago when I was at a leadership conference in Charlotte, North Carolina. And it was just so, you know, so beautiful. The property is so beautiful, but just to walk through and hear the story of his life again, to watch even his funeral service again. And it was kind of interesting. Someone was talking and saying, when Billy Graham got to the gates of heaven, and he walked in there, they could just imagine the thousands of people that would meet him there and say, you're the reason. You're the one that shared the good news with me. You're the one that sacrificed your life so that I could just hear the gospel and say yes, and I'm here because of that. Listen, Reverend Graham, it was worth it. It was worth it. And I so hope that when I get to heaven, that I don't wish I would have been quicker or faster or better at loving others. I so hope that I don't wish that I would have ran harder and prayed more and studied more, but that I would have pressed on. I so hope that I don't get discouraged, because listen, it will be worth it. It will be worth it. When your life gets hard, you need to remember the reward. And it might not even be just your life, but it might be your children's or people that you don't even know. That when you're standing there and you walk and hear your Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant, others will say, thank you. Your life was worth it. So when the race gets hard, and it will, and when God seems distant, and sometimes He will. And when you can't explain life, and sometimes you won't be able to, you will go back and say, I'm in this for the long haul. No matter who else drops out, I want to finish well. Because the words that we live for are the words that come to us when we get on the other side of this life. And God looks at us and He says, well done, you did a good job. In that moment, there will not be one ounce of regret that we decided to finish the race well. Whatever sacrifice we made will pale in comparison to the joy that will be ours in that moment. So hear me say, stay the course. Keep running. Let's run together. Run by going home and loving somebody. Run by forgiving someone. Remove their shame. Run by making your family's faith a priority. Run by not just reading God's Word, but studying it and living it out. Run by getting up early with your son or daughter and reading God's Word together. Run by having an honest conversation with others. Run by meeting your neighbor and sharing the love of Jesus Christ. Run by finding those that are not running and encouraging them to follow Jesus, because it's worth it. It's worth it. And so today we run. Today we wake up and we say, we are the church. We are the hope of the world. And so we stand in the gap, because that's who we are. Today. Now. So listen. Let's run. Let's run together. No matter what. Because it's worth it. It's worth it. Pray with me, please. Father, we know that you are present. And God, we thank you for the power of your word, the power of your Holy Spirit moving in and through us. And so, Father, I pray for the graduates this morning. God, I pray for the families that they represent. God, I pray for this family of believers. That God, we'd be encouraged and inspired by your word this morning, by your Holy Spirit, to run. To maybe even for the first time to step into the race that you're calling us to, which is the race of relationship, where we just step into a personal forever relationship with God, with you, God. And we just say right now, if that's you, if you don't know Him as Lord and Savior, if you've never surrendered everything to Him, right now, right where you are, right where you sit, right where you're listening, you can just say, God, I want to know you as my Lord and Savior. Right now, confess with your mouth that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that He came and lived on this earth and went all the way to the cross to pay for your sins, your mess ups, your wrongs, and then rose again on that third day so that you could experience forgiveness and mercy and grace and eternal forever life in relationship with Him. Just right now, say, God, the best I know how, I invite you to be my Lord, to be my Savior. Come in and forgive me and change me, transform me. Help me to begin to be more and more like your Jesus. And help me have the courage to step into the race, the particular race that you're calling me to, God. For others of us, maybe we've kind of sat down on the sidelines. Life has been tough. Right now, God, through His Holy Spirit, is calling you to get back up, to not grow weary, not get tired, don't quit, because it'll be worth it. Right now, just ask Him to help you to recommit your life to Him and to His calling on your life. Just commit to Him that you're going to be faithful because He is faithful. And walk out of here with a new strength into the uncertainty of tomorrow, knowing that He is with you. And we together are going to run the race that He's called us to. And we just have to trust Him. And for those of you who just run this race so well, Father, would you continue to bless them with your strength? Would you continue to give them opportunities to be an example to the rest of us? This is how we run. God, do your work in each of our hearts this morning. God, I just pray for the graduates that even through this simple little message, that as they step into the future that you have for them, the particular race that you're calling them to, God, that they understand that you are with them, and they'll look for others to come alongside of them, and that, God, we can be there with them as they run. As they run the race that you marked out for them, fixing their eyes on you, Jesus. God, help us all to not grow weary and to lose heart. Give us your strength, your courage, your faithfulness to keep on running. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.